Good morning, everybody. Dr. Pederuti with Intellectual Medicine here with Shannon on a beautiful Saturday morning. This, ladies and gentlemen, is why we strive for a vital life, so that we can go out and enjoy a day like this. Today, we're going to be talking about sexual health, sexual function, and we're going to be applying the intellectual medicine approach to these issues. We're going to be talking about the traditional arc of sexuality in a human lifespan. Now, a traditional arc refers to the way it's been, not the way it can be. And then we're going to be talking a bit about the way things can be. But first, I was very saddened to hear the keyboardist for Parliament is no longer with us. I grew up with Parliament, and I thought, Crystal, maybe as a tribute, we dedicate the entire hour to nothing but P-Funk. What do you think? You're on board with that?
Absolutely. We can do that.
We could do that. It's my show, right? I've got an unwritten script. Now, Shannon, you remember Parliament, don't you?
Not a fan.
Not a fan? Do you remember them at all?
No, actually, I don't.
There's a generational gap, folks. We grew up with that group, and it was great fun. And speaking of Parliament and speaking of sexuality, their lyrics were woven into the fabric of sexuality, human sexuality. So we're going to be talking about that today. So when we talk about this topic, you know, I don't like to use words like dysfunction or normal. I think they really tilt the conversation. The human sexuality is so broad, is so varied, that to apply a standard of normalcy starts to become a bit limiting. Let's start out with our philosophy at intellectual medicine. Intellectual medicine is a revolution. We are part of what you are experiencing. Every time you go to your computer and you search a topic, trying to find a solution to a problem you have, or an answer to a question you may have, you are joining in the revolution of intellectual medicine. Traditionally, for thousands of years, medicine was tightly held by experts who possessed the book of knowledge, and it wasn't available to you. The revolution began really with the internet, as I see it. It's a much like the Reformation in religion. Once upon a time, the only people who could read a Bible were the clergy. They were the only ones that had a copy of it. They were the only ones who could read. And you know what happened when people started reading? They became enlightened and they started asking questions. And the response from those in power wasn't to say, isn't this great? People are becoming enlightened. The response was to say it's awful and push back. You know, Shannon, I feel the same thing happens sometimes in medicine nowadays. When we see patients in our center, and they will comment that, boy, I went to my doctor, and I looked up information on the internet, and I asked questions, and they told me to stop doing that. Have you ever heard people comment like that?
Often.
Yeah, and it's disturbing to us at intellectual medicine. And so we decided that we were going to launch the show, in part, to help link with people that are like-minded. Now, remember, folks, a revolution never starts from the top down. A king never woke up in his castle and said, boy, this is awful. I need a revolt. It starts from the bottom up. And in medicine, it's becoming more bureaucratic. It's becoming more controlled. It's becoming top down. Did anybody knock on your door and ask you what you think about the way healthcare is delivered? And have you noticed when you see your doctor that half of the time is spent with the doctor banging away on a keyboard? Did you know this is Men's Health Month, Shannon? It's Men's Health Month.
I did not.
I know some people think of men's health. If I said men's health, what specialty pops into mind? Maybe a urologist?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. That is very mechanical. And I heard my colleague, Dr. Martin Miner, a wonderful family doctor, one of the best in the state. Now, bear in mind, he was talking about men's health, and he is a family doctor, a broadly trained individual. I maintain that your best play, if you're seeking out intellectual care, might be a nurse. And I'm talking about a nurse practitioner in particular. They are being trained with more of an emphasis on listening than traditional doctors and more of an emphasis on working collaboratively. So with that plug for nurse practitioners, of which Shannon will soon be one, right? I know who I sleep with. It's like, we're going to move on forward. But I think the point is that intellectual medicine is a philosophy and a frame of mind more than it is a niche specialty. And many doctors are currently practicing it, and those are the kind of folks you need to seek out when it comes to dealing with issues of sexuality. So what happens in a traditional arc? We're born, we come to our sexual maturity, we reproduce, and then things change. Our sexual appetite tends to diminish. it's our belief that sexual activity and the desire for sexual activity and that which we call a libido or a free-floating sex drive is a sign of vital life. It is something that you should be able to maintain throughout your lifespan with proper maintenance and attention to global health. Traditionally, as people start to lose some of their physical capacities to achieve satisfactory sexual relations, they start to back away. They start to retreat a little bit. If you're a woman and for some reason your sex drive is starting to diminish, you're noticing that you're having problems with vaginal lubrication and that your satisfaction is diminishing, you might start to think, well, maybe this is the beginning of the end. It's time for me to accept my fate that I am now an older woman and I'm not going to have this aspect of joy. Or if you're a man and you're starting to struggle with erections, with sex drive, with performance, the same thing can occur. And I've seen this come between loving couples and start to lead to what I call physical drift. When that's happening, is it normal? Is this just the pattern of life and should we accept it? Well, you know, in past years, you had few choices. Now, however, properly applied, think of your sex drive and your capacity for sexual activity as another vital sign. And start with that, with the realization that it can be sustained throughout life. I'm very motivated in my practice by the outcomes of my patients and watching what they've been able to achieve. And I'll never forget Shannon, an elderly patient of ours. At the time, he was fighting cancer, and he was 85. I think you remember. I've told this story before. And I said to him, he had lung cancer, and I said to him at one point, and this was early in the days of my pursuit of intellectual medicine, and we were applying advanced therapies to him, hormone therapy, supportive care, so that he could live a full life, regardless of his diagnosis. And I said, do you ever get short of breath? And he looked at me and said, well, you know, doc, sometimes when I'm making love to my wife, I get a little breathless. And I thought to myself, wow, guy's 85. He's got stage 4 lung cancer. And he's still sexually active. That tells me and informs what I knew already, that it can be maintained. So what are the key elements? What's going on in your body and what can be done about it? Well, we're going to touch on all of those topics over the course of this hour. We are available for your phone calls if you have any questions about this topic or others. We're going to be highlighting next week's conversation, which is going to be about bariatric surgery and medical weight loss. And actually, Shannon, it ties into sexuality. Now, you know from the histories we've taken on many patients that an element of that has to do with your physical well-being. Sexuality involves the manifestation of your global good health. And if there's something out of sorts with your health, then your sexual function will suffer. Severe obesity is, not severe, but obesity in general can be a barrier. But let me put this caveat. I think sometimes we look at the archetypical bodies, and it seems to me that we start to get a perception that sexual joy is reserved for the beautiful people, or what we perceive as traditionally beautiful, you know, models and such. Let's face it, most of us don't rise to that level, but all of us have a birthright to have joy, satisfaction, and happiness within our body. So let's start the conversation out right there. That wherever you are in your arc of life, old, young, heavy, thin, whatever your body you're walking in the moment deserves to be celebrated on every level. It doesn't mean that we can't endeavor to make ourselves healthier and better. So what about weight and what about the arc of normal sexuality? It's true that libido does diminish as we get older. When we're in our 20s, sexuality can be spontaneous, immediate. It's a perpetual thought on the part of most men and women. It's always a factor in the course of their daily living. Not to say that it dominates activity. The point is that it doesn't take a whole lot of prep time. You're ready to go. Now let's move forward. Let's say you've got a few kids. The house is busy. It's noisy. Now you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s. And all of a sudden, it doesn't happen so spontaneously anymore. You get to the end of the day, you're physically exhausted. So one caveat about maintaining healthy sexuality, make it a priority. Plan for it. Build anticipation into your week. Much like any other important endeavor, you wouldn't allow it to occur just randomly. You would put it in a priority. And you'd say, hey, this is kind of important to me. I'm going to set aside some quiet time. We've had couples in the practice where some simple interventions like locks on the doors, with white noise can be a godsend to maintaining physical intimacy. Don't expect to 10 o'clock at night suddenly become full of life and vitality. Right? Sometimes your best opportunity is in the morning. One of my favorite tips for couples that are struggling in this regard functionally is to skip dinner, get the hotel room. That is, you're going out on date night, you have a nice dinner, you come home, you spend $200 on dinner, now you're tired, now the kids are rattling about the house. Why not create some private time and create it in an intimate setting and not necessarily, you know, spending all that money on dinner itself? So how about the other physical attributes? Unfortunately, a lot of medical conditions get in the way. And we're going to talk about some of those top medical conditions like high blood pressure, like diabetes, like obesity, and of course, about hormone replacement for men and women. When should you consider it? In what circumstances does it make the most sense? It's a true fact that from age 35 on, in both men and women, our hormone levels start to decline, specifically testosterone. And I can tell you that both men and women will require adequate testosterone treatment in order to live their highest and best life, not only sexually, but physically as well. And we're going to talk about that more on the other side. We have about a minute coming up before we have to go to break. So with that kind of introduction, you can be menstruating normally as a woman and still deficient in ideal testosterone levels. That hormone starts to fade first. The symptoms of that can be fatigue, can be loss of muscle mass, can be loss of mental energy, can be moodiness, can be loss of sex drive and loss of libido. It's not uncommon for us to have patients come to see us and say, you know, I love my husband, I love my partner, but I need help. So on the other side, the help's coming, folks. Stay with us. Dr. Pederuti, Intellectual Medicine. So I am back. I'm Dr. Steve Pederuti, Intellectual Medicine. We run the Pederuti Center in Warwick, Rhode Island. I'm here with Shannon. We've been existing for 2 years, and when we opened, people told us it'll never work in Rhode Island. Intellectual medicine and Rhode Islanders don't mix. They're not bright enough. They're not progressive enough. Well, you know what? The rest of the country's wrong. Rhode Islanders are smart and progressive, and we've enjoyed great success at our center. Today, we're talking about sexual health, and let me just summarize it for women. We're going to talk about men as well. No testosterone, no sex drive. That's it. And if you're starting to feel that depletion in your own interest, it needs to be investigated. Now, my opinion does not necessarily resonate with that of your doctor or a lot of mainstream physicians. Our experience and our research drives our thinking. Properly measured, we can assess testosterone levels in women, and it's more than just a blood test. It's also symptomatically reflected. A testosterone level of 5 in one woman may be fully inadequate, whereas another woman, a testosterone level of 10 is not enough. It depends on their response. Remember, folks, the brain is a repository of many testosterone receptors. Without testosterone in your system, the brain slows down. You don't think as fast. You're not as sharp. You can get a little dull. You can be a little moody. Now, conventionally, you may land in a doctor's office and say, you know, I'm tired, I'm moody, I've lost interest in sex. And the doctor will say, I think you're depressed. And he gives you a serotonin reuptake inhibitor drug like Prozac or Lexapro. And what does the drug do? It makes you gain weight and lose your sex drive, right? Throwing more dirt on top of you. In a different approach, you can assess and then replace testosterone. And that happens before you need estrogen, before you need progesterone. Properly dosed, testosterone can energize your brain, reinvigorate your sex drive, build muscle, preserve vaginal health, enhance vaginal lubrication, and preserve bone. Well, today we're focusing on the sexual aspect, and it's very gratifying for me when we see patients who will come in and say, you know, doctor, I just don't have that interest in my partner anymore. It's just not there. And we can analyze what's going on, remove some of the drugs that may be in the way, test and replace testosterone. Well, how do you do that? You could do it with a cream. Topical testosterone creams are available. The best are those that are compounded by a compounding pharmacist, and we have some great compounders throughout our state. However, our preferred method is with an implantable pellet. This pellet is simple to apply. It's bioidentical, meaning it's the same thing your body makes. They're manufactured in the United States, and they last for a good 4 months. It's like putting in a battery pack. So properly replaced, you can start the road back to maintaining healthy and vital sexuality, which is your birthright. You should be able to maintain that throughout the span of your life. Well, at what age does this become a factor? We've seen women as young as the mid-30s, the same thing with men, benefit from proper, careful replacement. Are the risks involved? Very minimal. Properly monitored, you see occasionally some increased oil of the skin, perhaps some acne, but this is something that can be individually reflected upon. So hormone therapy is a cornerstone. What about what to expect? What's normal? Well, I'd say in our practice, the normal response rate of sexuality for women, when I ask the question, how often do you climax out of 10? It's anywhere from 1 to 10. Now, we said before that we're going to avoid the word normal. There's a better word, it's satisfaction. Are you pleased with that? Is your partner balanced? Are you in harmony? And if the answer is yes to all the above, then climaxing, you know, 1 out of 10 may not be ideal, but may be acceptable. I would say, however, that the average is around 7 out of 10 for women. And you know what? For men, it's about the same. It's not a universal dynamic that every man ends up an intimate encounter with a climax. There are things that can be done beyond the testosterone. There are certain topical creams that we can compound that can be enhancing of libido function. And then, of course, looking at it globally, how is your vascular health? How is your medical health? Those variables need to be assessed. And do you have a good basis of communication with a partner? How about if you don't have a partner? It's still a vital sign of life that you have libido function. The thought, the ability is a sign of good health. So from birth until death, the new style of living, the advances in anti-aging therapy, the enhancement of the youthfulness, it means that you never have to retire from the sexual joy of living. You just need to be aware of what can be done to sustain and maintain that throughout the span of your life. Now, if you're hearing me talk about this and the questions come to mind, bear in mind that you can reach us by tweeting us at what, Shan?
At Dr. Pettirudi.
And do we have a Facebook access?
Of course we have Facebook access.
How's that work? This Facebook thing, what's that all about?
Just go on. It's the Pettirudi Center.
Yeah, see, back in Parliament days, we didn't have Facebook. So you can feel free to funnel some questions through Facebook or through Twitter. I understand this is a sensitive topic, and we really appreciate you all tuning in to this very mature and thoughtful conversation. So for women, there's so much more to say, but let me summarize it. You have to have your right testosterone level. Otherwise, other efforts will likely be futile. Now, when we come back, we're going to be talking about men's sexual health, their sex drive, and erectile function. So we'll be back after the break. I am Dr. Steve Pettirudi, Intellectual Medicine. And now, and we are back, Dr. Pettirudi, Intellectual Medicine, along with Shannon. We're talking about human sexuality, human sexual health, maintaining your youthful lifespan. After all, folks, what's the purpose of living 120 years if you're not going to bring all of your function with you, mind, body, spirit? Now, for those of you listening, interested, you can call our office or check our website. You can tweet us or Facebook us. Shan, how do they get a hold of us?
They can call our office after 9, 401-921-5934. Office open 9 to 1 today. They can go to our website, thepettirudicenter.com, or again, Facebook, Pettirudi Center, or tweet you at Dr. Pettirudi.
Thank you. Yeah, we are passionate about helping you live your youngest lifespan. So Ashley, Gina, and Tanya will be there after 9 o'clock if we can be of help to you, or if this information just guides you on your journey. We believe in patient-initiated intellect. You can start that journey by looking at our website. We're going to be talking now about men's aspect. We talked in the last break about the need for women to be properly hormonally repleted. And for men, the same thing holds true, but it's more complicated. Unfortunately, just replacing testosterone does not guarantee good erectile function for men. Now, oftentimes, erectile function is a herald symptom that prompts people to come and see us, as well it should. It can be a sign of cardiovascular disease. So step one, if you're having difficulty with erection, we have to look at the drugs you're on and get rid of the ones that are in the way. And you have to evaluate blood flow. The penis is very dependent upon healthy blood flow. Now, there are certain supplements that can help. L-arginine in high dose is a vasodilator and can help penile blood flow. For both men and women, ginseng has been shown to have some merit. But beyond all of that, you do have to have your proper testosterone. And you have to be at, ideally, your healthiest weight. So take a tape measure, put it around your waist. If it's more than 40 inches, that could be a variable affecting your health. What about the oral medications? So for men, if you're having trouble achieving or maintaining an erection, it can be a powerful disinhibitor. It can direct you away from initiating intimacy. The fear of failure can start to become a real barrier. Now bear in mind, guys, if you're above 40, you're hearing me speak, inevitably there will be that moment where it just doesn't work so good, where you have a failure to achieve an erection that is strong enough or lasts long enough to finish the job, to have a satisfying encounter. Guys, that's normal. Don't panic. Nothing awful is going on. It happens to everybody at some point. You have to just move along. Now, you can analyze some elements. Look, I say when you're in your 20s and you've had a couple of drinks, it's disinhibiting and amplifying. When you're in your 50s and you had a few drinks, it's going to snuff out vitality. So that's one variable. Be mindful of your alcohol intake. Be mindful of your physical and mental health as you enter into the arena. But suppose you're just having difficulties more consistently. The medications can help. They have been, in many ways, a breakthrough in healthcare, enabling men to enjoy sexual vitality. Unfortunately, and this is a story of big pharma and maximizing profit, the cost of those drugs is exorbitant. It can be $25 per pill. Well, clever doctors, and I count myself as one, have figured out ways to have these agents compounded at a fractional cost. So you can certainly ask your doctor about that. Suppose, however, that's not enough. Well, we talked about getting your hormones correct. We talked about getting the drugs out of you that are mucking you up. It's been our experience that a lot of patients will be on drugs and they'll say to their doc, gosh, I'm having difficulty with my erections, and the doctor will sometimes say, yeah, no, the drug's not known to do that. Well, you know, sometimes these drugs don't read the textbook, and they have effects that maybe they shouldn't. And those effects are individual and real. So we honor the patient's history, and we look for better solutions to a problem and solutions outside of the pharmacologic realm. Now, with proper testosterone levels in men, you're going to regain your mental vitality. You're going to regain your interest in sex. You will improve your erectile function. But here's a problem with just replacing testosterone. It cuts off stimulation to the testicle itself. So you're getting your testosterone by a cream or an injection or maybe a pellet, depending on your need. If that's all the doctor does, your testicles will atrophy and you will be cut off. There are means to sustain that type of good health. In our practice, we like to combine the testosterone with the proper dose of HCG. It's a testicular stimulant that can be helpful for many men. And if it's appropriate for you, then it's something that can be applied. And then finally, there are specialized compounded injections that can be used that are highly reliable for achieving a very satisfactory erection. These can be compounded by a compounding pharmacist under the order of your doctor. They are simple. They are painless. Yes, folks, they do get injected at the base of the penis. That alone is enough to scarf some folks. But I reassure you, when properly applied and properly trained, it's simple and painless. So the message here is that you can maintain sexual functioning throughout the span of your life, and that in a committed relationship, you're going to maintain your health and your capacity to achieve that kind of balance, and that there are means to get there. Not that erection is the penultimate aspect of sexual relations. There are many ways that loving couples can find intimacy, even in the absence of a capacity for erections or a desire to achieve them. But if you have that desire, it can be met. I'm Dr. Pederutti. This is Intellectual Medicine. We'll be back shortly. Hi, team. It's Dr. Pederutti, Intellectual Medicine. We're operating out of the Pederutti Center in Warwick, Rhode Island. I'm here with Shannon. Today, we're talking about maintaining youth, an aspect of living to be 120, is enjoying sexual vitality throughout the span of your life. There's no age at which that has to be retired, folks. And we talked earlier about the benefits of getting your hormones balanced and appropriate. We talked about the benefits of looking at medications and your global health to help support your sexual function. Like any vital function, it requires practice and maintenance. And it requires attention to things that would otherwise undermine it. like certain medications. So in the next section, we're going to talk about revitalization. Suppose you've been out of the game a little while. Maybe you were divorced. Maybe your spouse died. Maybe you're hearing me talk about this and it's been a year or two since you had physical intimacy because you didn't think it was possible anymore. Maybe you went through a medical illness, had surgery for cancer or some other serious condition, and have been having difficulty getting back into the game. Well, it begins with that hormonal evaluation that we think is so critical, an element of life extension and maintaining youthfulness, and carefully replacing all the hormones that are depleted. Then we look at your free radical demand. Free radicals are corrosive to health on every level. They accelerate aging, damage the brain, and by so doing, they can corrode your energy and your vitality. I would say low energy has to be one of the most common things we see. Wouldn't you say, Shan?
I would say definitely top two.
Well, top two. I mean, even if it's not the primary concern, it's connected to others. And I'd say when somebody tells me they have low energy, 9 times out of 10, they're struggling sexually. It's hard to feel your best. It's hard not to feel your best and perform well sexually and have the energy for that. So we replete that energy. Micronutrient deprivation can be devastating to your energy and your sexual function. Properly replaced intravenous use of vitamins and other supplements can be igniting to energy and revitalizing to your health on every level. So taking a look at this revitalization aspect, first, we're getting the hormones right. Second, we're looking at the drugs you're on. Unfortunately, side effects are often neglected. Doctors are very pressured for time. They can barely write all your prescriptions before they now have to deal with the issues of your sexual intimacy. And it's an area that not every clinician is comfortable with. If you're on beta blockers, don't stop taking any drug, by the way, just because I mentioned something. Have this conversation with your doctor. However, drugs like beta blockers can be powerful disinhibitors of sex function for men and women. We talked about antidepressants, serotonin reuptake inhibitors like Prozac, Lexapro, combination drugs like Cymbalta, anti-bipolar drugs like Seroquel. These agents can be powerful disinhibitors of sexual function. Now, they have to be carefully considered whether or not they should be weaned. I can tell you, do not stop taking these drugs abruptly. You'll feel poorly for it. But there's a better solution out there for many people. You just have to be able to find a new path and guide toward it, gradually reducing some of these other drugs. Revitalizing your health, we have found in many of our patients high levels of toxic heavy metals. Well, if you don't test, you don't know. And if you don't know to test, you're not going to think to look. Heavy metals can accumulate in the body, including in the brain, where they can interfere with pituitary function and gonadal stimulation. They can muck things up. Well, because they accumulate gradually over the span of your life, some of the effects can be felt later in life, even though the accumulation has been happening for decades. So when we see a patient who's looking to revitalize their life, looking to regain youthful vitality, we look at it globally. Hormonally, antioxidants, heavy metal toxicities, and then start to rebuild sexual health. It's very satisfying when we see patients who have not enjoyed that aspect of their living for years come back with that healthy glow and the happiness that comes from living a full and a vital lifespan. Now, next week, we're going to be talking about weight loss, and we're going to be focusing on the cult of bariatric surgery. I don't know if I'm using the word correctly, but I'm going to call it that. You know, there's a firm belief on the part of many clinicians that nothing can be done about weight other than to operate on you to get it off. And here's what we know for sure, and I heard this mentioned in the previous hour. Diet and exercise, for most people, just does not work. So what does? We're going to be talking about it next week, but it connects to our topic today because I know many patients that have said, I'm not happy in this body, doc. And if I'm not happy in this body, it's hard for me to feel sexual. Therefore, getting that global health connected is very important. I'd say that's a truism. Have you known patients like that, Shen, where they're just not happy where they are in their body?
Of course. You know, if you know, you're just not feeling great and you're not totally happy with the way you look, it is definitely harder to feel sexual or even want your partner to touch you.
That's true. And that's a very personal reflection. We're not talking about body dysmorphia. You start to talk about your body and about your dissatisfaction with it, the next thing you know, you're going to be referred to a psychiatrist for body dysmorphia. And you want to grab the doc and say, no, you don't understand. I used to be a size 3. I used to have a great body. Now I'm a size 10. What the hell's going on? Well, it ties into the global aspects that we're talking about. Intellectual medicine does not recognize borders or boundaries between different aspects of your care. And we're talking about sexual health today, and we're emphasizing the importance of hormones, but it's not an isolated dynamic. Everything interconnects. Good mind, good body, get the hormones back, get your weight right, and that energy comes surging back through your veins. Folks, it's your birthright to enjoy sexuality as you define it on the terms you determine it to be throughout the span of your life. Anything that limits your capacity for healthy sexuality is worthy of investigation and worthy of being addressed because there are remedies. When we come back after the break, we're going to be talking about some special circumstances regarding sexuality that come up frequently. I'm Dr. Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine. Hey, folks, we're back. Welcome back, team. It's Dr. Pederuti with Shannon. This is Intellectual Medicine, where we ask you to turn on your brain and turn off your bias. We are opening up the boundaries of the way human beings age. We are helping to lead the revolution in medicine. We are bringing science from the White Laboratory and the Ivory Towers to the bedside and to you, to your health. Health is no longer defined as the absence of disease. There's nothing wrong with you. You don't have a disease is not our definition of good health. Good health means having an abundant level of energy. It means having a sharp brain. It means having the body you want at the weight that's best for you. And it means having vital sexual energy. And what you do with that energy, that's your business. That's your personal choice. That you have it is a medical and a human imperative. If you have no capacity for libido function, now there are circumstances where that can be obliterated, and there are deep triggers for that. However, I'm talking the broad swath of human beings from birth until death have an interest in, a thought about, a capacity for sexual thought and action. Now, sexual thought does not beget sexual action inevitably. That becomes your choice. I mean, how often should you have sex? What's normal? Well, there is no normal. Remember, it's what you choose. But I can tell you that some studies have shown sexual intimacy at the rate of 1 or 2 times per week correlates with a high degree of relationship happiness. Now, it doesn't mean if you're a once-a-monther that you're miserable. It just means that's what a study showed. Remember, folks, all studies lie because within them are outliers. Well, if you're a happy outlier, great for you. If you're a once-a-monther, have a ball. And if you're somebody who's a twice-a-dayer, well, I'm probably not getting a lot else done, but that's a happy moment for you, I suppose. The message is that more is not better and that it's a personal choice. So what about some special circumstances? What about the dynamics of sexual behavior? First, no judgment zone. When it comes to that which pleases you sexually, intellectual medicine says you're a grown-up adult. You get to make those choices. And most of what has been imposed on human sexuality has done so out of an agenda to control, manipulate, and otherwise diminish freedom amongst humans. So I had a circumstance where the patient was concerned because he had discovered that his wife was masturbating. Of course, my first thought was, well, that's good news for you. She has a libido. But his concern was that, is this normal behavior? The answer is yes. As Woody, to paraphrase Woody Allen, 95% of the population masturbates. The other 5% lies. It's a private behavior. It's a personal choice. It's a physical outlet. It does not displace physical intimacy within a couple. Now, I had one woman say to me, it's the only way I can get an orgasm without having to shave my legs. For them, it's a matter of convenience, proximity. So, guys, this is an area where you should mark yourselves not concerned. If it's an activity that your partner chooses to partake of, that's that realm of personal privacy, just as it is, you know, for men. So what about that behavior? It's personal choice behavior. Who you have relations with, personal choice behavior. We believe in a concept of omnisexuality, given the right time and circumstance, most human beings can be responsive to most others, depending on their inclination, the timing, and the circumstance they're in. It's all abundantly joyful. It's all abundantly healthy. Intellectual medicine is here to serve your individual need, to fill you with life, to fill you with vitality. A good person full of energy and vitality is a gift to the world. That's what you are, and a gift to yourself. So stay healthy. Stay sexually healthy. Pursue it as a goal. And when you're having difficulty with it, seek help and consultation. We're here to serve you. We have our Twitter. How do they get in touch with us?
Twitter at Dr. Pederuti. You can call the Pederuti Center at 401-921-5934. Find us on Facebook or Instagram.
Thanks, Shannon. I'm Dr. Steve Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine. Up next, Tony DeJesus from Big Blue Bug Solutions, protecting you from tick-borne Lyme disease. I'll see you next week, gang.